Well, it's been a while, but after 3 weeks, Dennis is back. Nice to see
I'm
you, Dennis.
Back. I'm back, and it's good to see you.
We've missed you.
Don't you really? Oh, I'm touched.
Shucks. Now, today you're going to talk about a herb which you consider as one of the most important herbs for helping treat some of the most distressing conditions that many women experience. Can you tell us about this herb and your relationship to it and its use in Australian herbal medicine practice?
Look, this is a great herb to talk about. I'm talking about the herb botanically known as Vitex agnus castus, also known popularly as chaste tree, which produces at the end of a flowering season a berry. And the berry on that tree, and I have one in my home in the valley presently, the berry on the tree contains chemical constituents, natural substances, which have a profound regulating tonic effect on the female reproductive system and has enabled that herb to address some of the most common distressing conditions that women experience, particularly the premenstrual syndrome, the transition through menopause, and also some levels of infertility. It is so important in my practice of herbal medicine that without it, I doubt very much whether I would be able to achieve some of the results that I do achieve in those three conditions. And I had a lot to do. There's a whole story about this. I'll be brief. I had a lot to do in introducing this herb into Australian herbal medicine practice, particularly clinical practice. Prior to my lecturing and early practice, this herb was not well known, if at all known, in herbal medicine practice. Herbal medicine practice at that stage was very much based on an Anglo-American model, which still plays an important part of it. There was very little mention of a lot of the European literature and European herbs. I then began to study the work of Dr. Rudolf Weiss, where Vitex agnus castus first confronted me, and it was presented there in the same enthusiastic terminology that I've mentioned there. I moved from there to read the literature of a British herbalist, brilliant British herbalist, Geoffrey Whitehouse, and he spoke there about the herb's ability to balance the hormonal structure, the hormonal chemistry of the female, and as a result, treat those conditions which are considered potentially related to hormonal imbalance. That is where I became so impressed that I began to have the product produced, initially as a tea, and trialled amongst some of my students at Leichhardt Women's Health Centre. That's how far it goes back, where it demonstrated great results in many conditions, three of which I've mentioned there, and from there onwards, the herb became popularly used and now is known well by practitioners, albeit, in my opinion, a lot of herbal medicine practitioners are still not familiar enough with the role and the importance of this distinctly useful remedy for a lot of women's problems.
Well, I think a lot of women are going to be listening intently today.
It's a very interesting topic, and I've touched on this topic quite some time ago, and I've encouraged listeners in the past to go to their nurseries and get hold of a tree of Vitex agnus castus. It grows beautifully in our region, and it develops a beautiful blue spike in its flowering season, which sets a backyard or front yard off dramatically. It's one of those plants that we should reintroduce into our environment, both for its picturesque characteristics and also for the way in which the berries can be used domestically as a tea for problems that some ladies would experience.
And if you're a lady and you your husband comes home with a plant and hands it to you, he's giving you a hint.
Well, I've brought home plenty of those plants, and I would hate to think my wife thought it was a hint. But there's a whole story about this.
Well, you can tell us later.
We can talk about it.
It's Health Naturally on 2NU RFM, and we've got a few calls already. Tamara from Cessnock's on the line. Hi, Tamara.
Hi.
You've got a question for Dennis?
Yeah, just wondering what that herb he was talking about before. I missed the beginning of the segment.
Oh, that's a great pity, but I'll mention it again for you, Tamara. I was talking about the herb botanically known, that is, its scientific name, is Vitex, V-I-T-E-X, Vitex agnus, A-G-N-U-S, castus, C-A-S-T-U-S. It is commonly known as chaste tree, and its berry is the part that is used medicinally. And it is very popularly, naturopathically and medically used in Europe particularly for treating the common conditions that many women experience, particularly that associated with the onset of the period, premenstrual syndrome, that also associated with the menopause, and in some situations, those women that also, unfortunately, suffer some levels of that disease known as endometriosis, where the herb has a role to play, and I hope to be able to touch on that. You should be able to get hold of the tree from our good nurseries up in Cessnock, particularly out round Colburn. There's an excellent nursery out there on the main road that I frequently visit. They get in plants for me, and I'm sure if you can't get it there, they would help you, and I encourage, again, particularly people in the Cessnock region where I live most of the time, it does well there. And it's a great plant to have in the yard and a great plant to be able to use medicinally.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Tamara.
I appreciate that, your call. Next, we've got Pauline on the line. Pauline, you've got some ear pain.
Yeah, I do have some ear pain. I've been probably suffering for about a year now. I just sort of wondering sort of what the sort of basis or the pain is coming from. Just sort of had a few different kind of thoughts on it. It feels like fullness and just like pain, even at the back of the head.
Okay.
And sometimes I wake up and it's sort of like under the jaw and all that. And the diagnosis is potentially maybe it's coming from the jaw, but sometimes I just feel like there is that fluid and it's sort of hard to believe it's a jaw thing when it feels such like a fluidy feeling.
Sure. Pauline, the first thing that I would ask you is, have you had it medically investigated?
Yeah. So I'm due to see a specialist like that deals with jaw joints for like a TMJ kind of analysis.
Mm-hmm.
But just wondering if, another GP mentioned it, potentially it could be coming from like the sinuses or maybe an allergy.
I would be moving in that direction. But you can perhaps have your cake and eat it too, so to speak.
Yeah.
The reason I asked you about the investigative activity associated with this was that any pain, as you would appreciate, associated with the ear needs to be really well understood, and I'm glad you've initiated that. But your point also about your feeling a sense of fullness in your ear coincides with, I suspect, what your GP is perhaps hinting at, that you may have what we used to refer to in an older system of medical language as upper respiratory tract catarrh. It's referred to as Eustachian tube catarrh. That means, I'll try to keep it simple for you, the sinuses, the upper respiratory tract generally, is congested with mucus. And that mucus then can create a sense of fullness. It can also be associated with various levels of infection, albeit if you haven't got a temperature or something like that, that would tend to work against that. But on the assumption that it may have something to do with a fluid build-up, and I'm speaking very simply here and so that you'll understand me, if it is associated with something like that, there's a way you can test it. There are two substances that come together frequently. That is the enzyme from the pineapple, called bromelain, well known in medicine, and a bioflavonoid that's also well known as quercetin. Now, those two come together frequently in encapsulated combinations, and they are used as a first-up approach to resolving conditions that are associated with the upper respiratory tract, and I use them frequently as a starting base for things where I suspect there is a lot of build-up, where the sinuses might be implicated. By the way, bromelain is specific in its action against sinus conditions. So I would tend to go along the line that your GP is moving here and seeing it something like that. The good thing about that is that it is very, very safe, inexpensive, and even with the investigation that you're going to have, it wouldn't clash with that, obviously, but you never know. You might find enough relief to be able to forego the appointment with the specialist. But look, that's the way that I would be looking at it. I would treat it as I've said, eustachian tube or upper respiratory tract catarrh, address it with a common preparation that many herbalists and naturopaths would use, and that is the quercetin and bromelain combination.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I'll look into that, and, I might pop over to come and see you soon then.
Well, you've got a good health food store at Warners Bay. They stock many of the things that I talk about. They're good people.
Okay.
So, talk to them. I'm sure they'd be able to get that in for you.
Oh, excellent. All right. Well, thank you so much for your advice.
Thanks, Pauline. Thank you.
Thank you, Pauline. Hi, Yvonne.
Hello.
Hi. What's happening?
Hello. I would like to ask Dennis if there's a herb or anything that I can take to increase the strength of my bones. I have osteoporosis.
Yes.
And I've had lots of fractures.
Okay. Yvonne, you've had many fractures and you have osteoporosis. Has your doctor discussed with you medical injection therapy for this condition?
I have an injection every 6 months.
Okay. Look.
Yes, but I don't think it does much.
Well, have you had subsequent bone density assessments?
Yes.
And how's your bone density shaping up by virtue of this?
Well, I can't really remember what it was, but it's not good.
Okay. Look, the reason I say that is that it is... Yes. It is a good approach, and some people might have some reservations about the rare possibility of it having a side effect. But overall, in my experience, the feedback from many of the clients and patients that I see is that it is useful, and even if it gives you some improvement in your bone density assessment, it's in your favour, because if you've had multiple falls...
I haven't had falls, Dennis.
You haven't?
I don't fall. I just break when I'm in the sleep or whatever.
Oh,
they feel like
dear,
it.
Dear, 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 dear. Yeah. Well, look, there's no easy answer to this.
No.
The herb comfrey in the past was used, but it is not permitted to be prescribed now.
Isn't it?
But there was a constituent in it that was useful for breaking of bones. That's what gave comfrey its name. Now, I can't prescribe it, and we're not legally allowed to retail it. But it was very useful. That's how it got its name, knit bone. Look, it's not an easy one.
I'm going to take health trade, Dennis. That's all I can...
Yes.
I have this injection of, I can't think of what it's called, once every 6 months.
I know it, yes.
And I take health trade, but really nothing...
Nothing's doing it.
At the moment, I've got a fractured rib, and I've had 5 thoracic breaks in my spine in February.
Oh my dear, that's that.
It's really quite horrendous.
Well, that really distresses me, Yvonne. Yeah. Look, off the cuff, it's not proper for me to suggest anything. What I will do, and what I will do, if you leave your telephone number, your name and address with the receptionist who took your call.
Yes.
I will do a little bit of study for you and see if there is anything in naturopathic research or anything like that that might give you an edge.
Yes.
So I'll take it on board rather than say try this or try that. That could be just wasting your time and money. You're doing everything that your good doctor is doing with his medical work. You're taking a Caltrate supplement. I'll have a bit of a look and see.
I have to take a lot of Panadeine for
it. Yeah, I know.
To keep the pain at bay.
Yeah, dear.
It's just horrible.
Yeah, look, I understand. I've got something in my mind. Leave your details at the desk, because I'd hate to be seen as someone who is suggesting that he's got the answer to osteoporosis.
I wouldn't think that of you, Dennis.
Okay, you leave it there, my dear, and I promise you I will get back to you personally.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Yvonne. You might have to give us a call back, and and Katrina will answer. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
And we've got Leonie from Head and Greeter on the line. Hi, Leonie.
Hi.
Hello, Leonie. How can we help you, my dear?
Well, you've already helped me, so I just thought I'd ring back and say how you've helped me.
Oh, good,
Not long been coming back from the doctor who had told me that my knee problem was arthritis.
Oh, yes.
And I already knew I had arthritis in my spine.
Mm.
But you said about green lip muscle and turmeric.
Yes.
And so I got onto that, and it's been so much better. So I just thought I'd ring up and say and encourage anybody who's got the same sort of problem that it really made a big difference to
them. Isn't that lovely? Look, that's very nice of you to ring in, Leonie, because the whole of my long history on radio talking about these things is to encourage people to see that you don't give up. There is always some way of doing something, particularly for chronic conditions that are not doing as well as they could do within the mainstream system. And turmeric and the New Zealand green lip muscle, I consider them still as terribly underrated. They have a potential in them that has yet to be taken more seriously by the mainstream medical profession. That's not in any criticism of our good people in that profession. These are substances. It might just interest you to know and listeners to know that the New Zealand green lip muscle was actually made famous as the result of a British doctor working in an outpatients department in a Scottish hospital. And he had been observing and seeking to help an elderly lady who had a completely ankylosed hip joint. In other words, it was painful, immovable, and she was on a walker and other support things to get around. And he had exhausted what he could offer her. And he happened to read some literature, I suspect, out of New Zealand, talking about the way in which in New Zealand the New Zealand green lip muscle in a powdered form was used medicinally. And he was impressed with the article and took it on board and suggested that this dear lady, in her terribly compromised state, should try some New Zealand green lip muscle. It was a sort of a left-field suggestion. Well, the lady did so remarkably well, that the good doctor wrote about the treatment he had given, and the article occurred subsequently in the British medical magazine known as The Lancet. And that product became much more popularly used, albeit I suspect he may not have been that popular amongst many more of his conservative colleagues, but what he discovered was something that I knew about, and I've lectured on it and have incorporated it into my product known as Glucosaplex. So you've done well, and I congratulate you. And with turmeric, what can we say about that? It's simple. It's got a recognised chemical constituent in it known as curcumin, which is renowned for its anti-inflammatory characteristics. It's a really good companion to the New Zealand green lip muscle. Well done, Leonie.
Thank you so much for your call, Leonie. It's great to hear some great stories.
Isn't that good? Simple little things too, because the things she's mentioned there are readily available from our good health food stores, our pharmacies. They're inexpensive, very safe. Good on her.
Yeah, well, next we've got Louise from Cook's Hill on the line. Hi, Louise.
Hi.
Hello, Louise.
Hi,
you've got
Dennis.
Bursitis in your hip?
I have, yes. It's chronic. So it's, it's been playing up for years, but for the last 8 months it's been, impacting my life. Sleep on my side. Yeah, I can't sleep on either side because the leg falls over on one side, but I can't lie on. There's a lump on that side, a large sore lump. So, and I've got, like, tendinopathy and insertional fraying on the tendon.
Dear.
So there's a lot of, you know, so I'm seeing a sports medicine person, but I was, you know, like you take a lot of anti-inflammatories, which probably aren't that great for my stomach.
Have you had had steroid injections?
I've had seven or eight steroid injections, and I've had PRP the end of last year, and I've also had a spinal block in my facet joint to see if that was the cause of.
You're really struggling with it, aren't you, Louise? You're really struggling with it, my dear. Look, I'll make a few suggestions, and they're only suggestions.
Yes.
I think it would be worthwhile for you taking on board the two most popular and common natural anti-inflammatory and analgesic substances that I use and mention, and that is the more modern preparations of turmeric, which contain standardised levels of curcumin, which is the active principle in it. That has helped a lot of my patients who suffer from inflammatory diseases of the joints, but also I recommend it be prescribed or taken in conjunction with a standardised capsule or tablet of the oldest known anti-inflammatory and analgesic substance, and that is the willow bark. I would suggest that you have a bit to gain by getting hold of those two substances. Your pharmacist around Cook's Hill, I'm sure, would have those two preparations. And they come in solid form, tablet or capsule form. They grow on you. You wouldn't get immediate benefit, but they're safe and they could augment any treatment you're having. The other thing I would suggest also is there is the possibility that you may get some relief by using something like the fish oil, taking it in significant dosages. Most people that use fish oil substances, in my opinion, take them in too low a dose. You have to be looking at taking something like 6 grams of them a day. That's usually 6 1,000-milligram capsules of it to get the sort of benefit that it is sometimes very useful in achieving. I think you have a bit to gain by doing that. You could also benefit from using a topical application known as Stiff Sore and Sorry, which contains curcumin, and also it contains the oleoresin of capsicum. That is a remarkable topical application. It's not a cure, but it's a good way of topically assisting managing the pain and the inflammation. Give those things a go.
Okay, I haven't heard of Stiff Sore and Sorry, but I have a cupboard full of topical cream.
Well, I had a bit to, it's not my product, but I had a bit to do with the locals, the local people that manufactured this, and I gave them a bit of advice and encouragement, and it does work, and there's a clinical and what we call a pharmacological basis as to how these two natural substances do their job. I would suggest you give that a go.
Okay, and the curcumin and the willow bark, what quantities of those would I take?
Now, look, with those, there would be dosages on the pack as they're obliged to have. I would suggest that you start off with the lowest dose. It would be within the dose range that is required to be put on those things. Give it a go on the low dose, particularly the combination, and work your way upwards towards the higher dose if you fail to get a result. Look, it's a long shot, but it's inexpensive. I've never found any side effects coming from it, and it's worthwhile giving a go because nothing else is really getting you optimally where you need to go.
First, you just wanted to talk about your women's herb.
Wow.
How would you describe it simply?
The best way I could describe it is the way in which within our profession and in some medical literature of a European origin also talk about it. It's loosely referred to as a hormone balancer. And what that means is it seems to regulate a better relationship between estrogen and progesterone, the two main reproductive hormones of the woman. And it is considered, certainly in our profession and by some medical professionals, that at some women's conditions can be associated with even a mild level of irregularity between estrogen and progesterone. And it was the British doctor, Dr. Kilmartin. Was it Kilmartin? And yeah, I think it was. And she wrote a book called Once a Month. And in that book, she developed what was called the hormone hypothesis associated with the premenstrual syndrome. And I was impressed with that. And then I read the book by Jeffrey Whitehouse, where as a naturopathic practitioner and a herbalist, he concurred and referred to the herb, Vitex agnus castus, as a hormone balancer and was using it in the European way to treat the primary condition for which it's used as a hormone balancer, which is the premenstrual syndrome. I began to use it and had some of the most remarkable reductions in the symptoms of premenstrual syndrome that one could possibly imagine, startling cases, which forever convinced me that in herbal medicine, this is a big call, but I'm prepared to make it after 50 years in the game, so to speak, there is nothing that can compare with serious levels of premenstrual syndrome or premenstrual tension, nothing that can compare in the herbal medicine spectrum with Vitex agnus castus. And I would suggest for ladies that struggle, particularly with that syndrome which asserts itself, towards the period, and get very much distressed, swollen with fluid, sometimes breast tenderness, etc. That's the herb that I would suggest that you try for your experience with the premenstrual syndrome, which can take many forms. But in that condition, I found it to be somewhat startling.
I'm sure a lot of women
startling.
A lot of women are just going, hallelujah.
And, well, yeah, but still, it is not recognised as much. And you say, why? Well, what we learn is that even in the natural medicine world, things sell better if they have a trendy name, or if they make great claims, or if they have, I won't go any further. And look, I'm not knocking our industry, but unfortunately, that's why it's perhaps not as well known as it should be, but it is available. Vitex agnus castus, a remedy worthwhile trying for premenstrual syndrome. No guarantees, but I would be surprised if the majority of women that tried my recommendation didn't get some benefit for that syndrome.
Excellent. Well, we've got 3 minutes left and we've got Len from Maryland on the line. Hi, Len.
Hi there.
Hey, you've got a swollen leg problem.
Yeah, I've got a swollen leg and it's sort of going black and it swells up and then it goes down over night time.
Okay. Len, you're obviously having medical management for this.
No, well, I haven't been. I just want to know whether I can come to you or you can describe.
The thing that worries me, Len, is that you're talking about your leg not only being swollen but significantly discolouring.
That's correct.
That worries me, and it would worry any medical professional. That if the condition is a benign condition and has something to do, say, with poor vascular activity, particularly venous activity, there are some useful things. But what I would suggest very, very seriously, as you would expect me to recommend, that you go and have it looked at. Go and have it looked at, get a diagnosis, see what's going on, see what's going on, particularly with the stasis, S-T-A-S-I-S, which seems to be occurring and causing the discoloration. If I was you, Len, I'd do that, get it cleared by the doctor as to what it is, and treated by the doctor if he feels that it would respond to that management. If it is a benign case of circulatory impairment, as I said along those lines that I spoke about, yes, I'm quite happy to make some recommendations to you, even on radio, but get back to me after you've let your good doctor have a look at it.
Oh, very good advice. Thank you.
Okay, Len.
Thanks, Len. Good luck with that. Thank you. Just quickly, we've got Robin on the line. Robin? Oh, sorry, wrong line. Robin, are you there?
Yes.
Yes. Just quickly, you have something to tell Dennis?
Yeah, with the green lip muscle, Dennis,
yes.
Are the tablets as good as the powder or not?
Would you say that again, Robin, dear? Say it again.
The green lip muscle.
Yes, yes.
Are they as good as the powder?
Yes,
look, tablets would be as good as the powders so long as they're taken in the same sort of level or quantity. And by the way, the green lip muscle itself as a food is good as well, but you'd have to eat a fair bit of it. I actually like the green lip muscle. I could go through a whole carton of them. But good on you. Well, coming from Karua, you probably get into a bit of seafood in any case. But
definitely, definitely. And the tablets are available at Capital Chemist in Raymond Terrace.
Well, that's great. That's good. And I'm sure that he'll help you out with dosage and that if you need to get any further information. But look, we've created a bit of revolution, I think, about the green lip muscle, but rightly so. It has been terribly neglected, as I've said. But thank you, Robin, from ringing in. I nearly went through your Karua place the other day coming back from Taree. I usually call in there to get some oysters, but I didn't take the bypass.
It's a great place to live, isn't it?
It is.
Well, we are out of time. Thank you so much, Dennis. We will catch up with you next week.
We will indeed.
Thanks for solving all the women's problems.
Well, we haven't yet, but we'll go there.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.